The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Masechet Rosh Hashanah has been sponsored by Mr. Sawley and Cheryl Mizrahi. Hashem Aleihem Yihyu for the Hatzlacha of both of their families, for Be'ezat Hashem, health, happiness, Parnasa, continued success, and of course, much nachat and pleasure from their children. Yiratzon, in the zechut of their dedication to the Masechet Rosh Hashanah, they will be zoche for good judgment, they will be zoche for good beracha and mazal in all their endeavors. Amen. Daf Chavtet, today's daf is being studied by Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenichenu b'gan Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in Refuah Shelema Eliyahu Chaim ben Shafia Sofia. Enna refanalo, enna refanalo, enna refanalo. Fata nefesh, fata guf, fata kerubala bo v'chen yirason v'nomar. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in Alun Nishmat Miriam Bat Habiba. Ruach Hashem tenichenu b'gan Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf. Today's daf is being studied in Alun Nishmat Adel Bat Rosa. Ruach Hashem tenichenu b'gan Eden. Amen. We get today's daf on Chaf Het Amud Bet, and we start on the bottom line. Amar le Rabbi Zera l'shamayeh. Rabbi Zera told his servant, Ichaven v'shaliach. Ichaven, have kavana for me v'taka'li. Which means, was Rosh Hashanah, to blow the shofar, but make sure you have kavana for me. Alma kasabar, must be holds, mashmiya ba'e chavana, that the mashmiya, the one that's sounding, the one that's blowing the shofar, has to have kavana specifically for the one that he's being motzi. Which means, according to Rabbi Zera, it's not enough just for the, let's say, the shomeya, let's say, to have kavana, but the and the mashmiya have kavana for himself. It's mashmeh that the mashmiya has to have kavanah specifically for who he's blowing for. So he tells him, listen, make sure you have me in mind. That she says, Titkaven litkoa bishmi. Specifically for me, the hotzieni yedeh hovati. In order to fulfill my obligation. So comes the Gemara and says, Metive, we have a question. Haya over achore beit keneset. Person was going, he was walking, he walked behind the synagogue. Or shaya betosavuch lebet keneset. Or his house was next to the bet keneset. Veshama kol shofar. He heard the sound of the shofar. Or kol megillah. Or he heard them reading the megillah. Im keven libo yasa. As long as he had kavana, he's yotze. Veim lo, im lav lo yatsa. And the Gemara says, vechi keven libo may have it. Even if the guy does have kavana, meaning the guy who's listening, I'm have kavana to be yotze. What's going to help him? Ha'ich lo kam mechaven adate dide. The mashmiya doesn't have kavana for this guy. The mashmiya doesn't even know this guy exists. After all, this guy just walking behind the bet Knesset. He doesn't know that that guy's there. So if you're telling me the bizra that the mashmiya has to have direct kavana for the person who's being motzi, how is this case okay? Which is, even if the guy walking behind the bet Knesset has kavana, but the mashmiya doesn't have kavana for him. No, we have to say the case is talking about where the mashmiya is a hazan, is the shaliach sibur. The shaliach sibur is kavanah for everybody. So therefore, he does have kavanah for him. He might not know his name, he might not know that he's there, but it doesn't matter. His point is, whoever's out there in the world that wants to listen to the shofar, I have kavanah for him, because he's the shaliach sibur. So therefore, that's also considered having kavanah for the person. Tashema nitkaven shomeya velo nitkaven mashmiya. This is the bright that we learned yesterday. If let's say the shomeya had kavanah, but the mashmiya did not have kavanah. Nitkaven mashmiya, or the mashmiya had kavanah to be motzi, velo nitkaven shomeya. But the shomeya did not. Lo yatsa. Ad sheyitkaven shomeya u mashmiya. We learned, in order for the mitzvah to be done, both the one that's performing the mitzvah and the one that's listening to the mitzvah, they both have to have kavanat. Kavanat shomeya, the listener, umashmiya, the one that's fulfilling the mitzvah. Now the Gemara is doresh over here. Katani mashmiya dumya de shomeya. From the fact that the Braita, it says you need kavanat shomeya and mashmiya. So the Gemara is going to learn that there's a similarity between the shomeya's kavana and the mashmiya's kavana. That what? Ma shomeya, shomeya le'atzmo. The shomeya, what is this kavana? For himself, meaning I am listening to the shofar to fulfill my obligation. Af mashmiya, mashmiya le'atzmo. So to the mashmiya, you know what the kavana is enough for him to have? That he's fulfilling his obligation, not somebody else's. So therefore, it's enough so long as the shomeya is mechaven for himself and the mashmiya is mechaven for himself. So then already you yotze veketani lo yatzah. What these words means is if that doesn't happen, which means if the mashmiya doesn't have kavanah for himself, lo yatzah. But what if he does have kavanah for himself? Yeah, yatzah. That's against the Bizera. Because the Bizera says it's not enough for the Mashmiya to have kavanah for himself. The Mashmiya has to have kavanah for the guy, for the person that he's being motzi. Right? That's why the Bizera told his shaliyah, hey, have kavanah for, if this is correct, the Bizera should have just told him, listen, have kavanah for yourself, and I'll have kavanah for myself, and we're okay. Ela, you see, against the Bizera, because here it says the Mashmiya, it's enough for him to have kavanah for himself, doesn't have to be for the guy, for the shomeya. So the Gemara says, you know what? Ultimately, Tana'ehi. It's machloket Tana'ehi in the subject. Netanya, we have a braita, shomeya, shomeya la'atzmo, u'mashmiya, mashmiya lefidarko. First opinion says, the shomeya who's listening, listens for himself, and the mashmiya also according to himself. And therefore, as long as they're both having kavanah to be yotzeh, it's okay. I'm going to be yotzeh. Maybe he says, no, sir. That's only going to work with a shaliach sibur who has an automatically blanket intent to be motzi the people that are there. Aval biyachid, but by an individual, lo yatzachi itkaven shomeya umashmiya. Which is by an individual, the shomeya and the mashmiya has to have kavanah to be motzi that person. So that would be like the bizera. So it comes that you have a machlok et tanaim, to what extent the mashmiya has to have kavanah. Is it enough for the mashmiya to have kavanah for himself, or does the mashmiya have to have kavanah for the shomeya? Rabbi Zera obviously held that you have to have explicit kavanah for the shomeya. If you were a shaliach sibur, that would be considered explicit enough, because he has kavanah to be motzi everybody. Whereas Tanakhama, this brayta says no. So long as the shomer is having kavanah for himself, and the shomer is having kavanah for himself, two people are having kavanah to fulfill edi mitzvah. So already it is enough. Okay, obviously the halakha, we hold that the mashmiya has to have kavanah to be motzi, not only himself, but the sibur. It has been said that that's why we say before the mitzvah is done, Birshut Morai V'Rabotai, and the Kaz says, Shamayim. What is Shamayim? Shamayim is Rashi Tevot, Shomeya, Mashmiya, Yahdav, Mechavenim. That the Shomeya and the Mashmiya have Kavanah together. But according to our Gemara, we understand not only have Kavanah for themselves, but Yahdav, Mechavenim, they have Kavanah to be Yotzeh, and the Mashmiya has Kavanah to be Motzi, not only himself, but the other people. Comes the next Mishnah. Ve'haya ka'asher yarim Moshe yado ve'gavar Yisrael. The Jewish people went out to war. So it says, when Moshe Rabbeinu lifted his hands, Klal Yisrael overpowered the enemy. And when he lowered his hands, they lost. So the Gemara says, v'chi yadav shel Moshe osot milchama o shovrot milchama. What are these magical hands of Moshe Rabbeinu? You tell me that they make war and they break wars? His hands go up, they win. Their hands go down, they break war, they lose the war. What's going on? As long as the Jewish people would look up to the heaven, and they would subjugate their hearts to their Father in heaven, then they would already overpower trees. It was depending on if they were up or down, meaning if Bnei Yisrael would subjugate their hearts. And that was indicative by Moshe Rabbeinu put his hands up. That means Am Yisrael was relying on Borei Olam. Then they won. Ve'im lav, which was indicative of Moshe Rabbeinu put his hands down, that means Am Yisrael's Emuna fell, and then Ayuno Flim, then already Barmana, they would fall in the war. So it was really depending on their faith. And that was just indicative as Moshe Rabbeinu, by Moshe Rabbeinu raising his hands up or down. Similarly, Ata Omer, Aseh Lecha Saraf, this was after the fiery serpents attacked Klal Yisrael, after they complained in the Midbar. So it says that, how did they get healed? So God tells Moshe, make me yourself Saraf, a serpent, Vesim Oto Anis, put it on the stick, put it, you know, up high. Vayakul Nashuch, anybody that got bitten by the snake, Vera'a Oto Vahai, he will see the snake that's on the stick, the metal snake that they made, and he will live. What is magic over here? That the serpent of, that he made, he put on the stick, has magical powers to give life or death? That's the point. When Am Yisrael would look up, meaning up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in heaven, they would get healed. They would, so to speak, melt, which means they would be destroyed. So therefore, the snake that they put on the stick is not looking at the snake. That would cause you to look up to the Shamayim. So they look up to the Shamayim, then already the Emunah, that would heal the person. But if he doesn't, then already that would be his downfall. And Gemara will go through these things. Hiresh Shote VeKatan. That's Hiresh over here is talking about somebody that is deaf. Usually when it says Hiresh, it means he is deaf and dumb, which means he cannot hear nor talk. In this case over here, however, somebody shouldn't even want to say, since we're talking about Shofar, even if he could talk, but he can't hear, he's not going to be Yotze or Motzi others when it comes to the obligation of Shofar. Because the main thing of the Shofar is Lishmoa Kol Shofar, to hear it. And if he cannot hear it, so therefore, he cannot be Motzi. Shote, obviously that's somebody that is insane, doesn't have Da'at. The Katan is a minor. En motziin et rabim yedei chovatam. They cannot fulfill the rabim, the masses, their obligation. And the Rasha says, why does it say the masses? You could just say en yotzim havero. Not only masses, even one person they cannot be motzi. Yeah, it's a question on the Mishnah. But the point is, since they themselves are not obligated in the mitzvah, they cannot fulfill the obligation of others. Ze aklal. There's the rule. Kol she'enu mechoyav badavar. Anybody that's not obligated in an item, they cannot fulfill their obligation for others. Okay, now the Gemara begins. We have a braita, akol hayavim b'tki'at shofar. Everybody's obligated in the tki'ah of the shofar. Kohanim, Levi'im, the Israelim, Gerim, converts, Abadim Mishuchalarim, that's an Eved Kena'ani that was freed. As long as he's an Eved Kena'ani, as the deen of a lady, whatever mitzvah a lady is obligated in, he's obligated. Whatever she's pitura, for example, the mitzvah tasish as mangerama. So therefore, Eved Kena'ani, as long as he's a slave, he's patur. Vetumtum. Tumtum is somebody that is closed up, which means we don't know if he's a male or a female. Where the organ is, it's sealed over there. And therefore, you cannot tell if he's a zakhar or a nekeba. They call that a fellow a tumtum. Ve'adroginos. Adroginos is, he has two simanim. He has the zakhrut and he has the nakbut. Mi shehatsio eved v'hatsio ben horin. And for that matter, somebody that's half eved, half free. Now, how do you have a case of half eved, half free? You have, let's say, partners own an eved, kena'ani. So one of the partners freed his helik of the partner, of the eved, and the other guy retained ownership. So technically, half of the guy is free, and half of the guy is Eved. So that guy also, according to his bright, is Hayab in Shofar. Now the Gemara analyzes. Tumtum, the Tumtum, eno motzi, lo et mino, velo et she'eno mino. Well, the Tumtum cannot fulfill the obligation of another Tumtum. Why? Because we don't know what this Tumtum is. If the Tumtum is a Zakhar, then for sure he can fulfill the obligation. But let's say the tumtum that's blowing the shofar is really a nekeba, and the other tumtum is a zakhar. So a nekeba cannot be motzi a zakhar. So therefore, a tumtum cannot be motzi another tumtum is obligation. And certainly, a tumtum cannot be motzi anybody else that's not a tumtum, meaning a zakhar, a regular full-fledged male, because on the side that he's a nekeba, So certainly he cannot be motzi. So that's the first law. Androgynos motzi et mino, aval lo et she'eno mino. With the androgynos, he can fulfill another androgynos' obligation. Because an androgynos is what he is. Which is, if he's a, we don't know how to classify the androgynos. So if you want to say that he's a zakar, so if this androgynos is a zakar, the other one's a zakar. If he's a nekeva, the other one's a nekeva. So therefore, androgynos can fulfill the obligation of a androgynos, which is all the same. Which is the difference between a tumtum and androgynos is the tumtum, we have a sefik what he is.
Right.
Is he a zakar or nekeva? Well, the androgynos, we know what he is. It is what he is. So therefore, the zakrut, and then the other guy is a zakrut, nakbut, nakbut. However, the androgynos cannot be motzi enomino, meaning a regular zakar. That cannot be motzi. Okay? Regular zakar. Now, next case. Mi she'atsho ebed ve'atsho ben horin, enu motzi lo et mino ve'lo et she'enu mino. Now, hatsi ebed hatsi ben horin cannot fulfill another hatsi ebed hatsi ben horin. Why? Because you have over here half ebed. Now, the ebed side of him is exempt. So therefore, you cannot fulfill another hatsi case because the ebed side cannot be motzi the harut side of the other guy. Again, you have hatsio ebed hatsho ben horin. The Eved side of him is exempt. So the Eved side of him cannot be Motzi, the Harut side of the one that he's trying to be Motzi. Nor, certainly, can a Hatsi Eved, Hatsi Ben Horin fulfill the obligation of a regular male. Because a regular male is totally free. The Hatsi Eved has half Patur side, half Avdut. Amar Mor, the Gemara analyzed. We go back, Amar Mor, I call everybody to count Shofar. Everybody's obligated in the Shofar. Kohanim, Nevi'im, V'Yisraelim. So the Gemara says, Peshita. Of course, Kohanim Levim Yisraelim. Iyanelo mechaybe, man mechaybe. If Kohanim Levim Yisraelim are not going to be hayav, then who's going to be hayav? That's Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael is made up of those people. Gemara says, no, Kohanim is Tarikhane. The Hadush is that Kohanim are hayav in Shofar. Why? Stalkan alak aminau iluchtiv yom teruai yelachem. By Rosh Hashanah, what does it say? This is the day of Shofar. Today, yom teruai. Man deleta ela b'tkia dehad yoma hu demechayev. I would say only the sect of people that have one day a year shofar, they're hayav in shofar. Yom teruah v'hane kohanim, as opposed to the kohanim, these kohanim who il v'itnu b'tkiot dechol hashana. The kohanim are blowing the shofar all year long. Dichtiv utkartem ba'asoserot al olotechem. Which means all year long when they bring the olah, every day in the Beit HaMikdash, they were blowing the Shofarot. So I would have thought maybe Kohanim are not obligated. Because the Torah says Yom Teruah. Only the sect of people that today is the day that they blow Shofar. As opposed to Kohanim that they blow Shofar all year long, maybe they're exempt from Shofar. Ema lo lehaibu kamash ma'lan. That's why the Gemara says, no, that really Kohanim are obligated in the Tikiot of Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, midame. So what are you talking about? Is it analogous? Hatam hasoserot, haka shofar. All year long, since utkatem b'hasoserot, they didn't blow shofar all year long. They blew the trumpets in the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore, why would I think Kohanim are exempt from Rosh Hashanah because they're blowing trumpets all year long? So we're back to the question. What do you have to tell me, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim? Isn't it obvious? And don't tell me that the Hadush is, oh, I would have thought Kohanim, since they're blowing shofar all year long, and the Torah says, Yom Teruah, only the sect that blows it today, as opposed to all year long. That's not a good Hadush, because they don't blow shofar all year long either. Mm-hmm. They blow the Hasosarot all year long. So what's the Hadush? So the Gemara says, Ela Etzterich, I need to tell you Kohanim. Sakadat kamina il vetnan shave hayovel rosh hashana. We learned in our Mishnah that the yovel, the Yom Kippur of yovel, is similar to Rosh Hashanah on two counts. Litkia, that both of them you have to blow shofar. As we know, we blow the shofar not only Rosh Hashanah but on the 50th year of yovel on Kippur. Filibrachot, and also malchiyot zichronot and shofarot, just like we do it on Rosh Hashanah. Musaf, they would do it on Yom Kippur of the 50th year. So obviously there's a connection between Yovel and Rosh Hashanah. So I would say like this, Man de'ite b'mitzvat ha-Yovel, those people that are subject to the mitzvah of Yovel, ite b'mitzvat Rosh Hashanah, they're connected to the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah of the Shofar. Ve'ame kohanim, and these kohanim o'il v'litnu b'mitzvat ha-Yovel. However, these kohanim, they're not subject to the laws of Yovel. How do we know that? כהנים ולוויים מוכרים לעולם וגואלים לעולם. Which literally means Kohanim and Leviim, they could sell whenever they want, and they could redeem whenever they want. And we'll see what that means in a minute. Ema b'mitzvot Rosh Hashana lo lehaibu. So since they're not subject to the laws of Yovel, I might think they're not subject to the laws of Shofar. Kamash ma'alan, that yes, indeed, Kohanim are indeed obligated. Now what is this law that we are referring to? So let's go, let's read part of this Rashi here. Let's read Rashi over here. Look at the Rashi in the middle over here where it says Umahu Goalim Le'olam. See where it says in the Rashi Dafkav Zayin, the Buddha Matkil, the big Rashi, the Mukhim Le'olam, Goalim Le'olam. Get to that point there. Above there, Rashi just dealing with some Girsaot over there in the Gemara, but now he gives the Pirush of what it means. Umahu Goalim Le'olam. What does it mean when it says they can redeem always? לפי שנאמר בישראל, because by Israel, what does it say? במוכר בית ערי חומה. If a person, let's say, sells a property that he has in a walled city, a city that was walled in the times of Yeshua ben Nun. ואם לא יגאל עד מלות לא שנה תמימה, נחלט. It means he has 1 year, the seller, to buy it back. That's called geula. He sold the property, but everybody knows if it's a batei ir choma, it's a 1 year return policy. After the year's over, it's nehlat. It becomes finalized, the sale, there's no geula. That's by Yisrael. Aval bilviyim geulat olam tiyeh lalviyim. They sell one of their properties in a walled city, a Kohen and Levi, they can redeem it whenever they want. There's no 1 year cap on their sales. That's, now again, that's not a Yovel issue, by the way. That's a Stam, a law of Batei Ari Choma. She's just giving you, huh?
Well, they can't own property.
They can. They do own. Ancestral, I guess they bought. They bought their own ancestral property. They were Yoresh in the times of Yeshua. But Kanadeh, they could have property. They can buy. They just don't have a Yerusha on property that were given when they split the land. Next case. Hamocher Sade Ahuza. A person sells his property, let's say. Sade Ahuza is ancestral property, right? Pemispar Shene Tevuot Yimachel Lecha She'eno Mutar Ligol Pachot Meshte Shanim. Which means when he sells, you can't redeem your property before 2 years. Which is outside of a walled city. Outside of a walled city, if you're selling your ancestral property, you do have a right to redeem it back. However, you can't redeem before 2 years. The sale's got to be at least 2 years. Then after 2 years, you want to come back and buy it back, you can buy it back. Aval Leviim Goalim Miyad. A Levi sells a piece of land, he can make the Geula immediately. He sold it on Monday, he can make the Geula on Tuesday. He don't got to wait 2 years. Lefi Shene Emar, במקדיש שדה אחוזה, ואם לא יגאל את השדה בעלים, הוא מחה, אוקיי, פיין, ואם לא יגאל את השדה. Now, בעלים, הוא מחר גזבר את השדה לאיש אחר, the case is like this, אם לא יגאל את השדה בעלים, כמה, if the owners did not, let's say, redeem the field, הוא מחר גזבר את השדה, let's say now they sold it to the Bet HaMikdash. They made it, they gave it to the Bet HaMikdash. The treasurer of the Bet HaMikdash has the property now, right? So what did the Gizbar do? The Gizbar is the treasurer. He in turn went and sold it to Isha Hayr. He sold it to another guy. Lo Yigael Od, Ela Yotza LeKohanim BiYovel. Which means once Yovel comes, all properties return to its owner. Now this Israel sold it, he gave it to the Gizbar. The Gizbar sold it to another guy. Now Yovel comes. Who gets the property? Gizbar gets it. Kohanim get it. Doesn't go back to the original. That's the regular law of a Yisrael. That normally if he sells a property and Yovel comes, the property goes back to the original owner. Masha'enken, if the Gizbar of the Bet HaMikdash gets the property from him, from the Yisrael, and the Gizbar sells it to who he wants to, when Yovel comes, it returns back to Kohanim. However, Eli Yotza LaKohanim BiYovel Halviim Goalim LeOlam. However, when it comes to a Levi, let's say same thing would happen. And the Gizbar would sell the Levi's property to somebody else. When Yovel comes, they get it. They have Ge'ulah le'olam, no matter what happens. And therefore you see what? This is the Karlo that we need to see in our halakhaya. Yovel doesn't apply to Kohanim and Levi'im. Because normally, the Yovel will say what? That if the property returns to its original owner at the time of Yovel. Which means when it comes to that point. Mashenken over here, when it comes to Kohanim and Levi'im, first of all, they're able to redeem not only when Yovel comes, they can be redeeming even the next day. Before the Yovel comes, they can make a redemption. Secondly, when the property is sold by the Gizbar, the property does not return to the Gizbar, but the property returns to the original owner. In this case, if it was a Levi, it returns to the Levi'im. Explicitly. That which we say, that they don't apply to Yovel, he's Magdish. Talk about a guy, let's say he didn't sell a piece of land, he's sanctified, he consecrated a property. He didn't redeem it, he consecrated it, now the Beit HaMikdash owns it. Umachra Gizbar. The Gizbar sold it. She'en Yovel Mafkiya Miyad Magdish. Which means, if a person, let's say, took a piece of property, Ekdesh, who gets the Ekdesh? The Beit HaMikdash. Good? Once, and the Beit HaMikdash took it now and they sold it to a third party. Okay? Once your veil comes, your veil, according to a regular Israel, brings it back to the Gizbar. The Gizbar gets it. However, when it comes to a Levi, even if the Gizbar sells it, doesn't matter. The Levi can always redeem it back to himself, which is the Yovel doesn't bring it back to the original owner when it comes to Levi'im, because the original owner now is the Gizbar. Gizbar has it now. It was sold to him, and he sold it to a third party, so it goes to the Gizbar. Mashik and Levi'im are not subject to that law. He makes it Ekdesh, goes to the Beit HaMikdash, they give it to somebody else, Yovel comes, doesn't matter. Still give it back to the Levi. So therefore he's not, he can redeem it, meaning he still has redemption powers always. Normally the Israel finished. Once your veil comes, it's finished. There's no more redeeming powers. The Beit HaMikdash owns it. Finished. It becomes their property. When the Levi can always redeem it back to himself. So you see the laws of your veil do not apply. So I would have thought, since your veil doesn't apply, so shofar doesn't apply, because we have the Hekesh, Kamas Wala, that even Kohanim are obligated. So she says the Mukhrim is Lav Dafka. The main thing is the Ekdesh. The Ekdesh. In the case where you made an Ekdesh, there will be a difference between when your veil comes, who can make Ge'ula? You say, I cannot make Ge'ula anymore. It's over. Mashaykh Levi can still make Ge'ula even after your veil is finished. Comes the Gemara and says, Mish Hachor Eved Hachor Ben Horim. The guy is half Eved. Het ben chodim. Eno motzi, lo et mino. That yotze, he's not motzi another hatzi. Why? Because his eved side cannot be motzi the harut side. Velo et sheno mino. Right? It cannot be motzi regular Yisrael because he has avdut. The other guy is totally harut. Amar avuna, ul atzmo motzi. But himself, he can be motzi. The guy himself, the Hatsi Eved, Hatsi Ben Horin, he can blow the Shofar for himself. Amar le Rav Nachman Ravuna, Maishen al Aharim Delo. What's the reason why he cannot be Motsi others? Delo ate sad avdut, umma pik sad chayrut. Le atzmo nameh, lo ate sad avdut ideh, umma pik sad chayrut ideh. I mean, just like he cannot be Motsi others, because the avdut side of him cannot be Motsi the chayrut side of somebody else. So the avdut side of himself cannot be Motsi the chayrut side of himself. So therefore, the Hatsi Eved, Hatsi Ben should not even be able to be Motsi himself because of this reason. Ela Amar Rav Nachman Af La'atzmo Enu Motsi. So you're right. Rav Nachman wants to say, even himself, he cannot be Motsi. Why? Because he has Eved, Eved Ben Onim. The avdut side cannot be Motsi the Hayrut side. So he's not chayav himself, even Shmatur. Tanya Nemehache, Mishat Shoaib, Dachshu Ben Chorin, Af La'atzmo Enu Motsi. He's not chayav. Tani, Ahaba Bere Derbi Zera. New point. Kol berachot kulan, all berachot of mitzvot, afal pi sheyatza motzi. Even though he fulfilled his obligation, he can still fulfill somebody else's obligation. This is based on the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazel. At the time the Jewish people received the Torah, they received a dual obligation. They received an obligation for themselves, but they also received an obligation for Klal Yisrael. And that what? That it's their obligation to see to it that not only they're going to fulfill the mitzvah, but that Am Yisrael is going to fulfill the mitzvah. Therefore, for example, if let's say you have the mitzvah of Kiddush, person made Kiddush already on Leil Shabbat. He did it already. Now all of a sudden there's another Jew who says, I didn't make Kiddush yet. I make it. I don't know how to make it. According to the Gemara over here, the fellow that made Kiddush already once could make it a second time. What do you mean? But he was Yatza. He did the Kiddush already. Doesn't matter. Kevan Shi Yatza Motzi. Even though you were Yotze, you can still be Motzi. And what's the mechanics? How does this work? Because really, I'm still considered obligated. So long as there's a Jew in Klal Yisrael that did not fulfill the mitzvah, there's a hayuv on me as well. That's the din of Arvut. And therefore, for example, Megillat Esther. The person read the Megillah himself with the Berachot. Now there's another Jew. I didn't hear the Megillah. Make the Berachot, read the Megillah for him. And you can do it 600,000 times until every single Jew in Klal Yisrael hears the Megillah. We don't say, well, you read it already, you're covered. No. Kevan Shiyatza Motzi. That even though he was Yotze, the item, he could still be Motzi.
Others.
We learned yesterday of the
Kol HaBerachot Kulan, Afal Pi Shiyatza Motzi. Look at that she. Share Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Baze LeMitzvot. Chutz בברכת הלחם וברכת היין שאם לא יצא מוציא ואם יצא אינו מוציא. However, when it comes to ברכת הנהנים, example, eating bread and wine, it's only an example, food. If I'm going to eat and you're going to eat, so I can say the beracha for both of us and we're going to eat from the partake from the eating, no problem. However, if I'm not planning on eating, I can't say, have motzi lechem min ha'aretz, I give you the bread and you eat and I don't eat. Because birkat ha'nehanim, there's no din of arvut on that. The way that she says is, chutz birkat ha'lechem v'ayayin, ushar birkat perot v'lechaneh. For that matter, any birkat ha'na'ah, fruit, besamim, right? She'elam choba, not obligatory. You cannot benefit in this world without a beracha. Ubezu en kan arbut. Why? She'enu chova al adam lo letanev lo lebrech. Don't benefit, don't make a beracha. She's not obligated to eat. And therefore there's no arbut that I can make the beracha and the bread or the perot and you eat. If I'm eating with you, I can make the beracha for you. If not, not. So there's a difference between berkat mitzvot and berkat and nehenin. Comes the Gemara now and asks the question. Ba'ai Rava. ברכת הלחם של מסע וברכת היין של קידוש היום מהו? What about the המוציא לחם מן הארץ that you make at the time that you eat the matzah on Pesach or the בורא פרי הגפן that's part of the קידוש? What's the question? Well, כיוון דחובה הוא מפיק. Do we say that sister connected to a חובה? Which means you cannot make al achilat matzah, which is the mitzvah, unless you make hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, because you got to eat the matzah. So do I say that this type of hamotzi is different than a regular hamotzi? This hamotzi is connected to mandatory eating. Same thing with the gefen. I cannot make kiddush mekadesh Shabbat, for example, unless I make what happened again, because I got to taste from the wine. So now this gefen is a different type of gefen. This gefen is connected to a mitzvah, and therefore maybe I have the din of a choma. Or do I say, or Dilma, Beracha Lav Chodai? Or do I split it? I say, no. This Beracha is not mandatory. This Beracha is Berkat Nehenin. I don't give it's connected to a mitzvah. So how do you judge a Berkat Nehenin that's connected to a mitzvah? Tashema, the Amar of Asher, Ki Avinan Be Rav Papa, Pepe, when we were by Rav Pepe, Hava Mekadesh Lan. He made Kiddush for us. Let's say, Yalel Shabbat. וכי הווה אתה אריסה נדברה הווה מקדש להו. When the sharecroppers came from the field, seems the sharecroppers in the field, they came late on Friday, they worked to the end, right to sunset. So therefore, they would come late on Leil Shabbat. So what did Rav Pepe do? He made kiddush again for them. Smash, he made the whole kiddush. So what do you see? That the berachav gefen of the kiddush is like a berachav mitzvah, which means he can say borei pri hagefen mekadesh shabbat He doesn't even have to drink. Mm-hmm. Give it straight to them. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? You made one over the geffen. Doesn't matter. That's like that's mitzvah. Just like you're able to you would say it already, just like you're able to make achilat matzah, same thing. You can take the berakha, mutzi lechem min ha'aretz, al achilat matzah.
You eat.
I ate already. I fulfill my obligation. Doesn't matter. This is considered. You don't have to take a little drop. You would say it already. Doesn't matter. Kivat she'atzah mutzi, I can mutzi others obligation as well. So you can make the berakha in this case as well. Comes the Gemara and says. Comes the Gemara and says, "Taru Rabbanan." Yes, Abdallah as well. When it comes to Boreh Ha'esh, Besami, you could always make it then. That's not a problem. The problem is Boreh Ha'esh. The halakha is a whole question: if you could be motzi, if you did it once, could you be motzi others? But all the other berachot of the Abdallah, you can make the Besami as many times as you want, as long as you smell it. And the other berachot of Amavdil, kivat sheyatzah motzi, you can make Abdallah for all klaiyos, so long as somebody has an obligation.
Shabbat
HaMotzi would be the same thing. Shabbat HaMotzi is considered Birkat HaMitzvah.
You have to eat the bread.
Not, if there's an obligation to eat the bread on Shabbat,
it's an obligation.
You have, everybody has an obligation. It's a mitzvah. So therefore, could be even on a Shabbat where there's a chayuf to eat bread. If you ate already, and now somebody needs to have the beragah, you can make it also, because the eating is considered the eating of a mitzvah. It's not only nehirin, it's nehirin with a mitzvah attached to it. Right? Taru Rabbanan. We have a braita. Lo yifros adam perusa le'orhin. A person should not break bread for his guests. Eilam ken ochel imayim. Unless he's eating with them. Which means you cannot say, "Motzi lechem min ha'aretz," and give your guests to eat, and you don't eat. That's the rule we said there. Berchat ha'nehinin, you want to be motzi them, you have to eat yourself. Aval poresu lebanav lebnei beto kedei lechanechan b'mitzvot. Amazing halakha.
Wow.
But you can do this for your children in order to train them in the mitzvot. Which means you want to teach the children to make berachot. So you're not eating bread that night. You could say, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, ha'motzi lechem min ha'aretz, and give them to eat. Dad, you're not eating, you don't have to eat. I'm just giving them the training of the mitzvah itself. Now the Beit Yosef says, not only your children, for that matter, any child in Klai Yisrael, this Gemara just spoke in the normal case, you're not eating.
But did you wash?
How are you doing? You don't have to touch bread if you don't wash. You can't eat the bread if you don't wash. So therefore, pick up the bread, say, "Motzi lechem min ha'aretz," and give them to eat. The Ritzbaks, give them even more than a kazayin. The point is, when it comes to this logic here, making a beracha lebatala, which means saying a beracha like this, "Motzi lechem min ha'aretz," is only a sudra banan. Because you're saying it in a beracha. God's name in vain is only when you say God's name just for nothing. Here, I'm saying God's name in the context of a blessing. Mm-hmm. So that's called the beracha lebatala, but it's only misumid rabbanan. So in the case where you want to mechanech your children, the rabbis waive the isud rabbanan of beracha lebatala in order to give chinuch to your children. That's the way the Dba understands. Gemara continues, ubehalel, ubemegillah, afapi sheyatzah motzi. Very good, like the law that we said above. Okay, there's a digestive braita. That when it comes to halel, even though you're yotzeh, for example, halel on the holiday, we say berachah legbor halel. You could say legbor halel again for somebody else and fulfill their obligation, even though you were yotzeh. And the same thing with megillah. I mean, the megillah is still like that example we gave above. You can say the megillah many times over, even though you did it yourself. Hadran ala la'u bedin. And now we begin the final perek of Masechet Rosh Hashanah with the first Mishnah. Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah. Shechaliyot b'Shabbat. Let's say the first day of Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbat. B'Migdash. In the Migdash, Hayu Tok'in. They would blow the shofar. According to Rashi, Rashi understands Migdash is actually Harabayit, the actual Temple Mount itself. No other area is called Migdash besides the Harabayit. Hanambam has a different understanding. He learns Migdash is actually Harabayit and Yerushalayim. But we're going to follow Rashi here. Rashi's holding it is Harabayit specifically. Hava lo b'medina. But they would not blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah of Shabbat in the Medina. And she says, "Lo Birushalayim, not in Jerusalem, ve'lo Bigbulin, and not in its provinces, in its surrounding cities." Mishahalab Bet Hamikdash. But once the Bet Hamikdash was destroyed, Hitkin Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai Shiyu Tokin Bechol Makom sheyesh bo bet din, which means at that point the Yochanan made a takana that any place that has an official bet din, so then already they're going to be metaken to blow the shofar. Now the Tosafot has a question over it. Tosafot says, if you remember, we learned in Masechet Sukkah similar law regarding lulav. That we said originally in the Beit HaMikdash they would take the lulav on Shabbat, right? On Yom Tov Rishon Chalav Shabbat. And after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, it doesn't say that they made a takana that people outside the Beit HaMikdash, where there's a Beit Din, can shake the lulav. So why, when it came to Shofar, after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, they made a dispensation on Shabbat outside the Beit HaMikdash, they didn't make by lulav. Mm-hmm. So look at the Tosafot, huh? Look at the Tosafot. Tosafot over here, the first Tosafot in the Perek. Start from Aval lulav lo ishtere kedemash ba'atam, towards the middle. Demu kilahu demodichin ulevim bezman bet hamikdash. Ubegbulin ma'ashwat bezman shem bet hamikdash kayam lo hutar b'shum makom. But it came to lulav, there was never a heter after Beit HaMikdash to take it on the first day. What's the difference? V'yishlomar, the shofar hu le'alot zichronehem sheYisrael labeim shebashamayim lo ratzu lebatel legamre. Which means shofar is different. Shofar reminds and brings the tefillot of Klal Yisrael up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So they didn't want to nullify the mitzvah in totality. Which means on Shabbat, Rosh Hashanah, if you're not going to blow anywhere, no one's going to have shofar that year. So therefore, the rabbis, because of the importance of the mitzvah of shofar, the Yochanan said, listen, no Beit HaMikdash, you blow it, there's a Beit Din. Okay? Now, v'cheva tikkun behad Beit Din, tikkun bechol makom sheyesh Beit Din. Which is once already, the Yochanan's takana was wherever there's, in front of Beit Din, so not only in front of one Beit Din, wherever there's a Beit Din in Klal Yisrael, the Yochanan said, you're able to blow the shofar. Afapish, was that a bite, lo haya ela b'mikdash, tafka. Even though it finds the Beit HaMikdash only in one place. So it comes out after the Beit HaMikdash, they blew it in more places than they did at the times of the Beit HaMikdash. Why? Because you can't split it. Why this Beit Din, not that Beit Din? So Eli said, once there's a Beit Din over there, you can blow the shofar after the Beit HaMikdash. And Tosfot just explains why shofar is different than lulav. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar B'Elazar. B'Elazar says, Lo itkin Rabban Yohanan ben Zakai, Ela B'Yavde Bilvad. He says, no. In misunderstanding of Yohanan's takana. His takana was not in front of any Beit Din. It was only in front of the Beit Din that sat in Yavne, which is actually the Sanhedrin Gedola, the Beit Din of 71 rabbis, which is then Sanhedrin Gedola. So you have a great mahlok at the extent of Rabbi Yohanan's takana. Was it any place as a Beit Din? And when we say any place as a Beit Din, we refer to a Beit Din of 23 judges, not a Beit Din of 3 judges. 23 judges, which is the court of Dinei Nefashot. Every place that has 23 judges, which was twice in different cities, did have these 23 judges. That's where they blow the shofar. Rabbi Yehazar says, no, the shofar is only blown in Yavne, because the Sanhedrin did go to Yavne, and that's where they sat, and that's where the shofar is blown. Now, incidentally, not only Yavne, the Gemara is going to tell us that the Sanhedrin went through different exiles. So wherever the Sanhedrin got exiled, that's where the shofar was blown, according to Rabbi Yohanan. Amru lo, so the rabbis tell him back, Echad Yavne, ve'echad kol makom sheyesh bo betin. So they tell him back, no. Yavne, as well as any place that has a betin. Now we have to see what's different than the first shita and this shita that they told him back.
Yeah.
The first shita said, Tanakama, wherever there's a betin, they blow. Rabbi Elazar comes and says, no, only Yavne. The rabbis come back and say, no, not only Yavne, anywhere. He told us that originally. So what's between Tanakama and this third opinion, we'll call it? The Gemara will discuss that. Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'od zot hayta Yerushalayim yetira al Yavne. There's another benefit that Yerushalayim had over Yavne. Now, we did not say the first benefit. The Gemara will say what was the first benefit. It's Gemara's question. But the point is, there is another advantage that Yerushalayim has over Yavne. Shekol ir, shiroa, veshoma'at, ukroba, v'yichola lavo, tuk'in. Ubiyavne, do'ayu tuk'in, ela bebet din, bilvad. Which literally means over here, any city, shiroa, that's able to see Yerushalayim, from where it is, so it's a little elevated, right? So you're able to see Jerusalem from this city, v'shomaat, which means it's close enough where you're able to hear, let's say, what's going on in Yerushalayim, specifically the shofar, ukrova, v'yichola lavo, meaning it's not separated by water, meaning it's within the tomb, tochein, which means you're able to blow the shofar in those areas as well. Ubiyavne, but when it comes to Yavne, lo ayu tochein ela bebedin belvad. In Yavne, they only blew in the actual place of the bedin. Now, what is this talking about? Is this talking about bisman? Shebet HaMikdash Kayam? If it was talking about Shebet HaMikdash Kayam, you don't blow in Yerushalayim at all. You blow in the Harabayim. So this must be talking about what? After the Bet HaMikdash was destroyed, where the Bet Din was not in Yavne yet, the Bet Din was in Yerushalayim proper. And therefore it's coming to tell you that when the Bet Din was in Yerushalayim, not only did they blow the shofar by the Bet Din in Yerushalayim, but all the surrounding cities of Yerushalayim also get shofar. Mashiach, when the Seredim moved to Yavne, it was only Yavne. So there's an advantage that Jerusalem gets. Again, when the Beit HaMikdash was Kayam, it was only an Harabayit. Finished, nothing to do with Yerushalayim. We're talking about an interim period, after the Qurban, before Yavne. Right. So the Beit HaMikdash was in Yerushalayim still. So the Hadush is Jerusalem, you know, because that's the Beit HaMikdash. But not only Yerushalayim. Anybody can see it, close to it, access it. Also, close to Shabbat over there. Masha'enkin, when it came to Yavne, only Yavne in front of the Beit HaMikdash. But not anything next to Yavne. That's the point. That's the point. Nothing next to Yavne. Okay. Okay, now we start the Gemara. Comes the Gemara and says, Mina Nemile. How do you know this? How do you know what? How do you know that you didn't blow the shofar on Shabbat outside of Harabayit? Shabbat Rosh Hashanah outside of Harabayit. How do you know you don't blow the shofar? Minan emil Amar Rabbi Levi bar Lachma Amar Rabbi Hama bar Hanina Katu v'chadam. What pasuk says? Shabbaton Zichron Teruah. The Torah calls Rosh Hashanah the day of remembrance of shofar. V'katu v'chadam Eriyom Teruah Yelachim. It's a day of shofar. So make up your mind. Is it a remembrance or is it a day? Like Hashem, can be Yom Tov Shachal Yod B'Shabbat, can be Yom Tov Shachal Yod B'Chol. So it comes out, this is a Torah law. The Torah is telling you that on Shabbat,
don't blow.
You don't blow the shofar, it's Zichron. And on Chol, Yom Teruah. So we're giving you, it's a biblical item of it. It's not a gizera from the rabbis got this answer. The Torah is telling you, sometimes you blow the shofar, sometimes you don't blow the shofar. Amar Abba, Abba says all that. Im deoraita hi b'mekdash yechi techeinan. First of all, you tell me it's asu deoraita zichron teruah. How can they blow in the Beit HaMikdash? Which is, if you want to tell me it's the Rabbanan, you can waive the laws of the Rabbanan in the Beit HaMikdash in Shavut b'mekdash. But if you tell me it's a Torah law zichron teruah that on Shabbat you don't blow in the shofar,
how
could you waive it in your Beit HaMikdash?
You can't.
You don't waive deoraitas in the Beit HaMikdash. Well, the Beit HaMikdash is not any different than anywhere else. You have to be religious in the Beit HaMikdash also. That's why we have Bifurush Pesukim to tell you it's mutar. Torah says, Olat Shabbat b'Shabbatot. But Pasuk says it. But Sheikin over here doesn't say anywhere that Beit HaMikdash is a special dispensation. So it comes to give us Ve'od. We have another question. Halav melachahi. The blowing of the shofar is not even considered a melacha on Shabbat, by the way. It's tarikh kra lemi'uteh. Which means it shouldn't be asur at all. Why would shofar be asur on Shabbat? Because you tell me it's a melacha.
No.
Masechet Shabbat, we learned blowing the shofar is called the chokhmah. It's called a skill, but it's not called a melacha. So therefore, they get what I'm saying. If it was, you know, tell me, we have a pasuk that tells me zikron teruah, you're not allowed to blow the shofar on Shabbat. What are you talking about? It's not even a suit to blow the shofar on Shabbat in the Torah. Why would the Torah oser Shabbat on something that's really not a melacha? Why the Tana the Bishmuel call me lechet avoda lo tasu? That's my Shabbat. Can't do work. Yatzat kiat shofar v'ridiat tapat. That's taking the bread off the side of the oven. I used to have the special, marda they called it. that was like a spatula, a long wooden spatula that they would use to like scrape the bread off the wall. So the Gemara says shehi chokhma ve'ena melacha. It takes expertise to do it, but it's not considered a melacha. She minat Torah. You're allowed to blow the shofar. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, "What are you telling me? You tell me a Torah. The Torah is going to tell me zichron teruah that on Shabbat you can't blow the shofar. Why can't you blow the shofar? So it's not even a melacha. So it doesn't make sense to learn that it's talking on a biblical level. So you know what the Gemara says, midoraita mishrashare. Really, midoraita, you can blow the shofar on Shabbat." V'rabbanan, who the gazur be? It's the rabbis that made a gezera. Kederaba, the amar rabba, kol hayavim b'tkiat shofar. Everybody's obligated to blow the shofar. Ve'en akol b'kiin b'tkiat shofar. But not everybody knows how to blow the shofar. The sounds. Gezera, shem yitelenu b'yado. He might take it with his hands. Ve'yelech etzel abakil ilmod. He's going to take it to the expert to learn how to blow the shofar. What's the problem with that? He's going to carry it for amot in the public domain. So it's a gezerah that you might come to carry the shofar. That's the same reason why we don't shake the lulav on the first day of the Sukkot that falls on Shabbat. Now if Megillah comes out also on Shabbat, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, the 15th, also they do not take the Megillah, because Gezerah they might come to carry it. Now let's analyze this Gezerah for a moment. The Gemara clearly says that the Gezerah is that you might carry it for a mort in the public domain. So Tosfot points out, but we did not make a Gezerah that he might go from the private domain to the public domain. Why don't you just make a simple gezerah? Right. The guy might take it out of his house and bring it to the experts. So bring it out of his house, go from the Shuti Yaqid to the Shuti Rabim. The Gemara doesn't say that. It says, Shema Ya'avirinu Dalin Amot Meshuti Rabim. So the Tosfot says, because that you have a hekir. A person is going to know, he sees the difference between the Shuti Yaqid and Shuti Rabim. That's too much of a separation or of an obvious Hiluk and Nishuyot for him to make such a mistake. So we're worried about a case where the Shofar is already into the Shuti Rabim. So the guy might just pick it up and walk 4 months in the Shuti Rabim, and that's already going to become, as that's why the Gemara chose the Shuti Rabim, as opposed to the Shuti Yaqid to the Shuti Rabim. So it comes out, it's only a Gezerah Midrabbanan. Right? The rabbis obeyed such a degree. So the question then is, what does the Torah mean when it says Zichron Teruah? Zichron Teruah, meaning the Torah says you can blow it. So you have to say that Zichron Teruah means that not only you have to blow the shofar, but you have to mention the shofar in the tefillah. Don't we have pesukim shofarot? So then we have to mention Zichron, make sure in the tefillah there will be pesukim that will mention the shofar itself. Zichron Teruah. Now it happens to be on Shabbat in the tefillah we do say Zichron Teruah instead of Yom Teruah. So we take the original derasha, even though it's rejected, even though Zichron Teruah is not going on Shabbat. Zichron Teruah is going on every year. Every year you have to mention the shofar and the tefillah, but the Gemara did bring it, so we don't call Shabbat Yom Teruah, we call Shabbat Zichron Teruah and the tefillah, according to the Av Amina of the Gemara. We kept that point. Comes the Gemara, continues. Mishahara Beit HaMikdash. When the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Yochanan made a takana that they blow the shofar in a place where they have a beddin. Tan Rabbanan, we have a braita. Pamachat Chal Rosh Hashanah liyot b'Shabbat. It came out Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbat. Vayu kol ha'arim mitkanesim. All the cities were gathering. That she says, Lesham, Lishmoa Tiyavneh. לשמוע תקיעה משלוחי בית דין לפי שהיו רגילים כן בירושלים. She used to be they blow it in Yerushalayim. Not a Sedanim was not in Yerushalayim. They were in Yavne. So everybody was gathering to hear the shofar. אמר להם רבי יוחנן בן זכאי לבני ביתרה. So רבי יוחנן told בני ביתרה, they were the presidents of Christ, they were the חשובים, right? נתקע. Let's blow the shofar in Yavne. They never did it in Yavne before. They always would do it in Yerushalayim where the Sanhedrin was. So now they tell Rabbi Yochanan, okay, they hear to hear the shofar, blow it for them. Amru lo nidon. So they say, hey, we have to sit down and judge it. We have to analyze it. Which means the question over here was, what's the reason why you can blow it in front of Beit Din? Especially Beit Din HaGadol in Yavne. The logic is, we're not worried about somebody's going to carry. Beit Din's not going to carry the shofar. I mean, if you only blow the shofar in front of Beit Din, so Beit Din is able to monitor the situation without worrying about people going to come to carry the shofar. So therefore, Rabbi Yohanan held, it doesn't apply over here, the blow the shofar. Ben Betana said, oh, let's analyze it before, because even though we're not worried about, let's say, the Beit Din in Yavne, but maybe subsequent Batei Dinim are not going to be as great as the Beit Din in Yavne, and therefore we have to analyze exactly the extent to this law. Amar Lehem, so what does Rabbi Yohanan say? Listen, Nitka'a v'harkach nidon, blow the shofar this year, then we'll sit down and judge. The whole thing is Yisur Rabbanan we're discussing over here. So when it comes to Yisur Rabbanan, you're able to do an action and then sit down and judge. Right. If there was a Torah situation over here, of course Rabbi Yohanan would say, okay, let's sit down and let's deliberate. Since the whole thing is Rabbanan, somebody might carry the shofar, and you're in front of Beit Din, so Rabbi Yohanan says, they're all here already. Blow the shofar, and then we'll sit down and judge if next year you want to do it or whatever it is. So they blew the shofar. So now what happened? Amru lo nidon. So Ben Betera come along and tell Rabbi Yohanan, okay, let's sit down and analyze if this is proper, we should do this next year. Already the shofar was heard in Yavne, which means, what are you going to retract it? We did it already. What do you want to judge now? If we were right or wrong, it's a good night now. The Bet is going to say, we made a mistake. Already all the people did it already. And therefore, it's a good night. Rabbi Yohanan, he got his will. He told, okay, we'll judge, we'll blow the shofar, then we'll judge. Okay, we blew the shofar, let's judge.
What are you going to judge now?
We did it already. So therefore, finished. He got the takana in Yavne to blow the shofar.
No, we said
23.
Yeah, but isn't that good?
Are you asking?
How many people
do
you need for a
betting?
Three?
We're talking about the 23 judges, or Yavde had 71 judges. There are some Mishnayim that say three, but we're going to Shittot that say when the Yohanan made the original Tekana, that every place there's a betting, that's 23 judges. Right? And Yavde had the 71. Okay? Now, comes the Gemara and concludes here. So that's when they established it in Yavne. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Loit ki Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai ela biYavne bilvad. He says, listen, at that moment, when they made the Takana, it was only in Yavne.
Fine.
It wasn't every single betin of 23. Amru lo ehad Yavne ve'ehad kol makom sheyesh betin. So the rabbi says back, no. When Rabbi Yohanan said Yavne, he didn't mean only Yavne.
Anywhere
there was a betin of 23, you do it. So because we have a machlok, and what the Yohanan's takana was. How far? So the Gemara says, Amru lo, hainu tanakama. So what are you talking about? This third opinion in the Mishnah, the same opinion as tanakama. Because what did the tanakama say? Kol makom sheyesh bo beit din. Then the Yohanan says, no, only Yavne. Then the third rabbi comes along and says, not only Yavne, any place where there's a beit din.
Right, so
one in three are the same opinions. So the Gemara says, Ika benayu. There is a difference. Beit dina de akrai. A temporary traveling beit din. That's she. Beit din akrai. The Tanakama takrinan. Which means, according to Tanakama, even a transient beti, which means, let's say that's beti of 23, they happen to be traveling
in a city.
On a field trip, but they got to a certain city. Now, they're really not, they don't sit in that city, but they're in that city.
Right.
Temporarily, there's 23, you blow in front of the beti. V'tana da'amru lo savar ehad yavne v'ahad kol makom sheyesh bo beit din kavua dum yadi yavne. The second opinion says it's got to be like Yavne, not in number, in
kiviyut,
in set, which means it's like Yavne set. So it comes out we have three shitot over here, exactly what the takana of Yohanan was, or what the proper thing after the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed.
Right.
Tanakama says after the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, any place that has 20 dayanim, not even kavua, just in the city, the shofar can be blown in front of the Beit Din. According to Rabbi Elazar, Yavne Bilvad, meaning only in front of Sanhedrin of 71 judges. According to the third opinion, not only in front of 71, also for the 23, but it has to be kavua, like Yavne. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.